Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pretty in Punk, the punk rock podcast. I'm your host, Fiona, your girly girl guide to the world of punk and rock music. Although today I don't look very girly as I typically do. It is almost Halloween. Halloween is just a few days away. And if you are a punk music fan, then you know exactly what band you need to be listening to right now. Misfits. Being that their style and sound has been described as horror punk, and they are kind of known as like the founders of this genre, and a lot of their songs, their lyrics, and their imagery are from horror movies, sci-fi flicks, etc., etc., there was no question that I had to make this episode for Halloween. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about everything from their discography, their horror movie inspiration and imagery, and more. And in this episode, I will specifically be talking about the Danzig era, because to me, that is Misfits. I mean, I can't lie, that is the only era of Misfits that I listen to. It's the only music that resonates with me. I've never been a fan of the post-Danzig era. So, without further ado, let's get into the history of the Danzig era Misfits and how their horror punk style, sound, and genre came to be. Now, let's start off with the formation of the Misfits and their very, very early days. We're going to take it back to late 1976, early 1977 in suburban Lodi, New Jersey. So before the formation of the Misfits, Glenn Danzig had been a member of some other bands before that, Talus and a cover band known as Ku Dot and Boojang, which, thank God that didn't work out, because what the hell even is that name? But then in late 1976, early 1977, Glenn Danzig then decided to form a band that performed all original material, and he decided to use the name Misfits, inspired by Marilyn Monroe's final film, which I think is a pretty well-known fact. If you are a Misfits fan, I think that is pretty known in the community. You know that that is where the name comes from. In the early days, he started rehearsing with a drummer by the name of Manny Martinez. However, it wasn't until Danzig was introduced to Jerry Caiafa, aka Jerry Only, as we all know him now, that the Misfits was truly formed. So after meeting Jerry and starting rehearsing in March of 1977, they had their first show only a month after they first met, April 18th, at the legendary CBGB. They also performed their second show in June of 1977, again at CBGB. However, they quickly realized that CBGB just was not for them. They didn't really fit in there, and after this is when they decided to form their horror punk sound and style that we all know today as the Misfits. But also in 1977, they released their first ever single, Cough Cool, which is so drastically different than the rest of the Danzig era discography. I mean, this features no guitar, just bass, drums, and Glenn Danzig also on keyboard. It's a super different sound, a little more electronic, and not really punk at all. It features Jerry Only on bass, Manny Martinez on drums, and again, Glenn Danzig on keyboard and vocals, and it is the only Misfit song to feature him on the keys. Now, to fully understand the Misfits and their brand as a whole, I feel like you just need a crash course in their artwork, their imagery, and their aesthetic. And being that this is my Halloween episode, I really want to hone in on the whole horror punk aesthetic of the Misfits. So first, let's start off with their famous logo. I would say that this is one of the most, not only punk logos, but rock logos of all time. I mean, I see people wearing Misfits shirts all the time, people that I definitely know for a fact don't listen to their music, but whatever, not going to start a whole thing about that. But I see this logo everywhere, t-shirts, bumper stickers. Even if you aren't a Misfits fan, you for sure have seen it. And that logo is known as the Crimson Ghost. And it is called the Crimson Ghost because it derives from a 1946 horror movie of the same name. Now, I've never seen this movie. However, I do know it is free on YouTube. So if you are curious, if you are a classic horror movie fan, this might be up your alley. But as a little background, this film is about a criminal mastermind known as the Crimson Ghost, who is out to steal a device device called the cyclotrode, which can short-circuit every electrical current on the planet. So this skeletal criminal mastermind became the face of the Misfits. And many of their early vinyl records and merchandise also featured this logo, as well as some other horror movie imagery as well. Not only was their logo a horror movie reference, but their record label name, Plan 9 Records, was as well. So originally their record label name, founded by Glenn Danzig, was called Blank Records. There was a whole dispute with the name. They eventually changed it to Plan 9 Records, which is another classic horror slash sci-fi film known as Plan 9 from Outer Space. So yet again, another horror movie nod. Not only was their imagery and their artwork chock full of these horror movie references, but so was their style and their personas on stage. Let's talk about their iconic devil lock hairstyle, which I think is pretty synonymous with Misfits. Like, when you think of Misfits, you think of their hair. The devil lock hairstyle was introduced by Jerry Only back in the late 1970s, pretty early on in their formation. In an interview in the early 1980s, Jerry Only said that the inspiration for the devil lock came from the Tidal Wave hairstyle, which was a popular hairstyle in the skateboarding community. And also, Glenn Danzig said that the hairstyle for him was inspired by Eddie Munster. Basically, the devil lock involves taking the front pieces of your hair and swooping them forward in like a point in the front of your face. The back is combed back and the front is just here in a little spike. And from my understanding, it is called devil lock because it is almost like a horn, like a devil horn. Not only was their hair a staple part of their look, but their clothing was as well. Typically during this era and even beyond, the Misfits were known for wearing all black, a lot of leather, leather jackets, chains, and spikes, things of that nature. A lot of their style is kind of like early psychobilly type style, I would say, as well. So I feel like you can see where a lot of that inspiration came from as well. Danzig himself would even wear shirts and gloves that had a skeleton design on them. And in some photos, he can even be seen with skeleton makeup on. And of course, famously, Jerry Only typically wears the black eyeliner around his eyes. And to this day, that is a staple part of his onstage persona. Overall, their outward image played a huge part in creating this horror punk aesthetic. While their outward image alone is quintessential to their horror punk aesthetic, the imagery, the hair, and the clothing, I think what really makes them, in my eyes, horror punk is the lyrics and the songs. The Danzig era Misfits, to me, are just renowned for their unique blend of this early punk style with these macabre lyrics and these horror-inspired themes. Their lyrics and their song titles frequently drew inspiration from sci-fi films, horror films, gothic literature, and the darker side of pop culture as a whole. And these elements are what really gave birth to the horror punk subgenre altogether. I mean, for example, songs like Night of the Living Dead or Horror Business, one of my personal favorites, these directly reference horror movies. And Glenn Danzig definitely had a knack for vivid songwriting when it came to writing themes of these undead creatures, haunting things, or violent encounters. And on the more sci-fi side of things, tracks like Skulls, Astro Zombies, I Turned Into a Martian, this is where the sci-fi elements really come in. Now, while a lot of the lyrics from the Danzig era could definitely veer into a darker territory and maybe even be unsettling for a lot of people, I think that they had a knack for doing this in a way that wasn't so over the top and made you uncomfortable. I mean, they kept the tone of their songs, honestly, a lot of them upbeat. And they talked about these topics in like a tongue-in-cheek kind of way. Overall, they kept the tone fun and rebellious as well. I mean, this sense of playfulness, I guess you could say, is really what helped the band create this niche that was horror punk. Yes, it could be morbid at times, but it was also captivating and entertaining, and it kept the same energy as B-movie horror flicks that they were so inspired by. It was equal parts entertaining and unsettling, and I think if you are a horror movie fan and a punk fan, this is the perfect blend for you. Not only did they tap into these horror and sci-fi themes, but the Misfits also frequently reference themes of like isolation and alienation, themes that definitely certainly resonated with the punk community. I mean, songs like Astro Zombies or Teenagers from Mars, one of my personal favorites again, while based off of the titles, it sounds like one of their sci-fi songs, and yes, they definitely are, they also tap into these themes of alienation, feeling left out, while also depicting a world where the human race is under attack by these alien forces, like in Astro Zombies. And if you look into it, if you're one of the people that wants to see a deeper meaning in songs, this could very well directly parallel the band's feeling of feeling alienated or isolated from the punk community at large. For example, like when they felt like they didn't quite fit in with CBGB and then were inspired to create this horror punk aesthetic. Through all of their lyrical themes, the Misfits really found a way to perfectly find this balance between the anti-establishment ideals of punk while also combining them with this almost like fantastical horror film world. I mean, the use of these song titles and these themes and tropes not only showed their love of the horror world and their horror aesthetic as a whole, but it also showed Glenn Danzig's lyrical ability to kind of merge the punk world and the pop culture world, because horror movies are still a form of pop culture. And ultimately, the Danzig era as a whole, to me, really created this world where horror and punk coexisted in perfect harmony. Their themes, their song titles, their imagery, it just all goes together so perfectly. Their music isn't just about shock factor. While yes, a lot of their lyrics, as I said, do kind of veer into a more violent tone, I would say that it's also just a reflection of punk as a whole and punk's ideals and defiance. It's the exploration of the darker side of humanity and over-the-top horror. And that is what makes horror punk horror punk. Now, I've been saying a lot in this episode that they have tons and tons of horror movie references, sci-fi references, etc., etc., but I want to go down the list and tell you just a few songs that stick out to me as being like known horror references. We have Night of the Living Dead, which directly is a reference to the 1968 zombie movie. We have Halloween, which is inspired by the 1978 film Halloween, but is also just a reference to this spooky vibe of Halloween and the holiday as a whole. We have Astro Zombies, which is a reference to the 1968 sci-fi horror film, The Astro Zombies. Return of the Fly, which is a reference to the 1959 sequel to the classic horror movie, The Fly. Horror Hotel, which is a reference to the 1960 horror movie, The City of the Dead. Vampira, which is a reference to a classic horror TV hostess from the 50s. And there is also Horror Business, which is thought to be inspired by the 1960 film Psycho, just based off of the lyrics alone. The title isn't, but the lyrics definitely are, and this is probably one of my favorite Misfits songs of all time. I love Horror Business so much. One of my favorites has been for years. Now, there are so many others. That is just to name a few that stick out and definitely have horror movie references that are kind of clear as day. However, if you go down the list, if you look at their entire discography of this era of the Misfits, you can find some sort of horror, macabre, sci-fi reference in there. And a lot of songs even have like a horror sounding soundtrack vibe, like Theme for a Jackal, for example. Like when you hear that song, it just sounds like Halloween-y, I would say. I know that term may be a little cringy, but that is what I would describe that as. But overall, just go down the list of their songs of this era. You will find some sort of horror reference somewhere in there. Next, I want to talk about the Misfits' iconic sound. Nobody does it like them. No one sounds quite like them, especially during this era. They really have something unique. There is only one Misfits at the end of the day. Let's start off with Danzig's vocals. I talked about this a little bit, and I have in some other episodes too, but this is a Misfits-based episode, so I can go off all I want on Misfits. I've always found his voice just so fascinating, like not like any other punk vocalist that I have heard. From the get-go, like any Misfits song that you listen to, I think the voice is what really grabs you, and it's what really grabs me. When I heard his voice, I was like, I need to know what else this man has in store. It's deep and like gothic, but like brooding and melodic, and like I've said in another episode, I would describe him as a punk crooner, and I think a lot of other people would describe him that way as well. I mean, their sound was very inspired by 1950s rock as well, so I think that is where that vocal style and his vocal ability stems from. Listen to songs like Some Kind of Hate or London Junction, you will know exactly what I mean with that gothic brooding sound. However, there are also songs that do feature the grittier side of his voice and that punk edge, like In Devil Lock or Demonomania. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. That is how I've always said it. The guitar work of this era was definitely what contributed to their sound as a whole. During this time, you had those fast power chords and fast downstrokes, which are just kind of what punk is known for. But they also incorporated this heavier sound and heavier guitar tones. The bass as well was very thunderous, very prominent in the music, especially with songs like Where Eagles Dare. That is one of my favorite song openings ever. I love how it opens with the bass, and they often use this like wall of sound effect, which made their songs feel like larger than life, even though they were recorded at a time where like the production elements of punk were usually very DIY. And of course, the drumming also featured these like classic fast-paced punk tempos, and all of this together created, again, their horror punk sound. While their main sound was punk, in the later years of the Danzig era, you could definitely start to hear them like bridging this gap between like the hardcore punk era and the early years of metal. However, they did also have songs that were very reminiscent of 1950s rock and roll, especially in the chord progression. I mean, just listen to American Nightmare, Skulls, or Last Caress. On those songs, you can definitely hear these 50s elements, but then on Wolf's Blood, Earth AD, you can start to hear the early metal inspiration, and they just have this range that is, it's really like, it shows you exactly what era of music they were in the rock punk sphere. Together, all of these elements created the distinct Danzig era Misfits sound. It was dark, but it was theatrical. It was aggressive, but it was melodic. It was haunting, but it was catchy. They just have the most unique blend of sounds ever. The blending of this 1950s rock sound with the punk elements, the hardcore elements, and these horror themes are what makes Misfits Misfits. And this is what really cemented them in place as the pioneers of horror punk. Let's talk about the Danzig era discography. Now, technically, they only have two studio albums that they released. In a previous episode, I did talk about Static Age, however, which is their third studio album, but was actually their first album ever recorded. However, it did not see the light of day until 1996, 18 years after it was first recorded. This was released as part of the Misfits box set, which was a boxed set of a bunch of Danzig era material. So because of this, their first actual full-length release was Walk Among Us, which sadly, this album isn't on Spotify anymore. I don't know why. I'm not sure what the reasoning is for that. I mean, obviously there is Collection 1 and 2, but I don't know why Walk Among Us is not available on Spotify, but it's fine. I will just listen to the collections. Walk Among Us features many of the most well-known and most iconic Misfits songs, including Astro Zombies, I Turned Into a Martian, and so on and so on. It also features 20 Eyes, which is not available on Spotify in this version. It's not on Collection 1 or 2, but there is a studio recording of it available on Spotify. Following Walk Among Us was Earth AD / Wolf's Blood, and out of all of their releases, this is the most hardcore, and this is when you really start to hear the transition from punk to metal. And bouncing off of that, Metallica even covered some songs from this era. Then, of course, from the Danzig era, after these releases came Static Age, finally seeing the light of day that it deserved. There are also compilation albums as well. There's Collection 1 and Collection 2. Both of these compilations collect all of their earliest singles, as well as the songs from Earth AD and Wolf's Blood. These are kind of meant as like a complement to Walk Among Us, and then Legacy of Brutality. Their other compilation album is like a compilation of these overdubbed mixes and previously unreleased songs. Now, like all good things, the Danzig era eventually came to an end, and the time has come to sadly talk about their split and the aftermath of their split. So by 1983, Danzig was growing increasingly dissatisfied and almost outgrowing the Misfits. He began writing new songs for a new project, but actually a lot of those songs did end up on Earth AD/Wolf's Blood. On October 29th, 1983, the Misfits played their annual Halloween show. Danzig had selected Brian Damage, formerly of Genocide and Verbal Abuse, as the band's new drummer. However, he became very drunk before the show, and because of this, could not play very well. Honestly, not at all. After several songs, they ended up escorting him off stage, and Todd Swalla of the Necros ended up filling in for the remainder of the performance. Tensions became very high at the show, as one would expect, and at the end of the night, they announced that that would be their final show. After the Misfits had parted ways, Danzig then went on to pursue a more solo career, firstly in the band Samhain, and then in his project Danzig. In these projects, he moved away from punk and more onto like the experimental metal side. And at this time, he was not in contact with Jerry Only or the members of the Misfits, and it stayed like that for years to come. After many, many feuds with the original members and legal battles over who had rights to what, in the early 1990s, Jerry Only and Doyle ended up deciding that they wanted to reinstate the Misfits. However, they would use a new singer and frontman, Michael Graves. However, I don't want to go too much into detail because this is a Danzig era episode, and that is just what I love. Years after their breakup and their reformation, in 2016, the first time in 33 years, Danzig, Only, and Doyle reunited for two headlining shows. They played at Riot Fest, they had some shows back in 2021 and in 2019, and then back in May of this year, 2024, they also headlined the Sonic Temple Festival. So finally, after years and years, the original Misfits are back, and I hope that it stays this way because I really, really want to see them. Now, I have heard mixed opinions. I've heard that some people say they have loved them live and they're still so great live. Other people have said quite the opposite, but I don't care. I will see them just so I can hear those songs live and say that I finally got to see one of my all-time favorite bands. Now, let's sum it all up. During the Danzig era, the Misfits carved out their own unique space, which blended the aggressiveness of punk rock and these horror movie aesthetics. Their iconic imagery like the Crimson Ghost, their outward appearances like their hair and their outfits, their lyrics and their sound are really what made them the pioneers of horror punk. And Danzig's very haunting yet distinct vocal style is what gave them their truly unique sound. Despite their relatively very short time together, they left an incredible mark not only on the punk and the rock world, but the music world as a whole. And the eventual reunion of the Misfits just really reinstates their cult following and the impact that they have had on the punk community as a whole. It is clear that the Misfits will always be a crucial, crucial part of the horror world, the horror punk world, and the punk world. And as Halloween approaches, it is the perfect time to dive in to this crazy world that they created of horror and punk and remember the lasting impression that they have had on the punk community. So, with all of that being said, that was a lot of information that I've thrown at you, but the Misfits mean the world to me. They are one of the bands that really, like, inspired my music taste, and I just love them. I can enthuse about their music for hours and hours on end. I don't even know how long this episode is going to be, but I've always found their music so fascinating. I found them so fascinating, and I am just so ready to be listening to them constantly this time of year, of course, but always and forever. Now, very quickly to end out this episode, if you didn't know, I have a Song of the Week playlist on Spotify. You can find it in the show notes or in the YouTube description if you're watching on video. And this Song of the Week, of course, is Halloween by Misfits. There was no questions asked. That had to be my Song of the Week. check that out. Give it a listen and give their entire discography a listen to the Danzig era discography, I should say. But this concludes this episode of Pretty in Punk. By far, this has been my favorite episode to date. Real quick, I also want to shout out my friend Autumn, who made me this sign. And as a reminder from this sign, you can follow Pretty in Punk on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty in Punk Pod for updates, short clips, etc., etc. I do post episodes every single Friday on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, you name it. You can find me, Pretty in Punk, the Punk Rock Podcast, on all of those, as well as YouTube, the same name, Pretty in Punk, the Punk Rock Podcast. But for now, I wish you all a very happy Halloween, and I will see you in the next episode next Friday.